Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Since before the Spring Holy Days, we've been studying the life of Jesus Christ, and last week we concluded our study when Jesus had calmed the stormy sea. The sea was most likely a larger lake known as the Sea of Galilee, with Jesus and his disciples crossing from west to east. The country of the Gadarenes was to the east of the Sea of Galilee, where the city of Gadara could be found. Upon leaving the ship, Jesus was immediately approached by a demon-possessed man who lived in the cemetery. This man was so wild that even though others tried to intervene on his behalf, they couldn't. People had tried everything, including using chains to secure him like an animal, and even that didn't hold the man. When this man wasn't found in the cemetery, he retreated to the mountains. People knew he was near because they could hear him cry, and when they saw him, he wore little to no clothes and was self-mutilating. When this man saw Jesus, the demon propelled this man to go and worship Jesus, and the demons had but one request of Jesus, that Jesus not torment them. Today, we know mental illness is a real situation that is often caused by emotional trauma and chemical imbalances in the brain. Mental health interventions of therapy and medications are commonly used. Some people have read passages like this passage and incorrectly concluded that all mental illness is caused by demons, and there is no biblical support for that conclusion. Demons are able to mock the most challenging parts of the human condition, including any type of illness, mental illness, or disability. Just like a person can have an illness or a disability and be without sin, a person can have a mental illness and be without demon possession. Only the most vile and evil mock others around them, which is why demons mock people through displays of illness, mental illness, and disability. Let's continue the account in Mark 5, beginning with verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And Jesus began to have a conversation with the demon, and found out that the name of the demon was Legion. The man was possessed by many demons, which probably led to the erratic behavior that other people observed. The demon begged not to be cast out, or they had to leave the country, and asked to be sent from the body of the man to a herd of pigs that were feeding nearby. Jesus gave the demons their wish and sent them to the pigs immediately. The pigs ran down a steep hill into the sea where they died. Word got around very quickly by the people who normally fed the pigs of the intervention of Jesus in the life of this man and how the pigs stampeded into the sea. Nervously, the people saw Jesus sitting with the man who was now clothed and acting as any person would act. Normally, we would think the people would be happy. Instead, they asked Jesus to leave. Jesus obliged them and got ready to leave by ship, and the man was so grateful that he wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus instead told the man to share the story of how Jesus intervened and had compassion on him with his friends. Once Jesus left by boat, the man returned to Decapolis, his city, and began to tell everyone what Jesus had done for him. People who heard his story were amazed. Sharing stories of how God and Jesus intervene in each of our lives is very compelling because our life is relatable to our friends and family. Let's continue in verse 8. For he said unto them, Come out of this man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with a devil, and had the legion sitting unclothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their posts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. When Jesus reached the western shore, a huge crowd was waiting for him, and Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, came to Jesus and begged Jesus to heal his 12-year-old daughter, who was close to death. Jesus decided to go with Jairus, and as they and a huge crowd were walking through the streets, a woman who could not be healed by doctors, even though she spent a good deal of money with them, decided to touch Jesus, thinking she would be healed if only she could touch Jesus. And when she touched Jesus, she was immediately healed. Jesus did not know the woman had touched him, but he felt power leaving his body and immediately asked who had touched him. The crowd was so huge, even the disciples didn't know who had touched Jesus. The woman thought Jesus would become angry with her, and so she kneeled before Jesus and told him the truth. Jesus told the woman her faith had made her whole. She believed and touched Jesus. Verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. As Jesus was telling the woman her faith had made her whole, a person from Jairus' house came to let him know his daughter had just died. Jesus saw the hurt in the eyes of Jairus and told him to believe, just like the woman had believed. He also asked everyone to stay back except for Jairus, Peter, James, and John. When they arrived at the residence, they saw everyone was sad because a child had just died. Jesus told the people the little girl was not dead, she was just sleeping. After asking everyone but the mother and father to step outside, they entered the bedroom where Jesus told the girl to arise. She not only sat up in bed, but was able to walk around the house. Jesus told the parents not to tell anyone what had happened and to feed their daughter. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus left the city to return to his own country, and the disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue to teach. People who heard him were astonished because they could not believe this was Jesus, who was a carpenter, the son of Joseph and Mary, who also had many brothers and sisters. The backstory and family of Jesus made it hard for people to think that Jesus was anyone special in the eyes of God. Jesus told these people that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his family and house. Because of the unbelief, Jesus could do very little except for the few rare individuals who believed. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And he went out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Jesus had a hard time accepting that his own people did not have belief and left to teach in other nearby villages. He split up his disciples into pairs. There's always safety in numbers, and he gave them power over demons. Jesus told them not to take any provisions with them, nor to take any money. He shared with them that if they were not received by a village, it would be worse for that village than it would be for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment day. The disciples left and taught the people should repent to change from the way of evil to the way of good. John the Baptist gave examples of repentance during his ministry, such as sharing with others when we have plenty, to not oppress people when we have authority over them, and to be honorable in the job that we have. Repentance involves changing our selfish focus to focusing on others. The disciples came across people who believed because they were able to cast out demons and were able to heal people. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by 2 and 2. And gave them power over unclean spirits. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on 2 coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from your feet for testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Jesus warned his disciples that they would be like sheep among wolves, and unless they acted with wisdom and compassion, they could easily be destroyed by others or through arrogance if they would allow it to develop. He warned them of people who would betray them. I remember growing up, my grandmother would tell us to trust no man, only God. Jesus told them that they would be called before the courts where they would have to give account for what they were doing and preaching, but not to worry because the Holy Spirit would give them inspiration in what to say. He also warned that there will come times when family will betray each other even to the point of death, and that to be saved, we must endure to the end. We cannot give up. We can never surrender. If where we are living persecutes us for our beliefs, Jesus tells us to move, and in so doing, we will spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another city. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. Jesus reminded his disciples that they would never be above him, just like a household servant is never above the homeowner. Verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above the Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Jesus told the disciples that even though what they had learned was learned in small groups and privately, The expectation was to take what they had learned and publicly proclaim, never worrying about what others might think about us, because the worst that any person can do is take our life. The only fear that we should have is the ability of somebody to take our eternal life. Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are not to worry about our life, knowing that just as God knows about the animals of this planet, he knows about each of us because we are of more value to God than many animals. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are more value than many sparrows. In life, we cannot be ashamed to tell other people about Jesus and God the Father. When and how we share Jesus and God the Father is up to each of us. And a good time to consider sharing is when others ask why we are different than other people. We are different in part because of Jesus and God the Father. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Even though we know that there is this future time of peace, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, until that time arrives, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus did not come to establish peace at this time. Jesus came knowing that his message would set family members against family members, because not everyone, even those claiming to be Christians, can accept that salvation is based on the forgiveness of sin and that this forgiveness is a free gift that we cannot earn through obedience. Our path to salvation involves understanding that we cannot love any person, even family members, more than Jesus Christ. We must love Jesus more than any person we know. We must follow the lead of Jesus and never give up on following his lead. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. People who receive the gospel of the kingdom of God receive Jesus Christ and God the Father. People who receive others proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God receive the reward that Jesus and God the Father would have for that other person. Verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus and the disciples split up and went from town to town, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and healed many people. Herod thought this was because John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and others thought Elijah the prophet had returned. They soon got together again in Bethsaida, and the disciples wanted Jesus to send the crowd away. Jesus told the disciples to go ahead and feed the crowd of 5,000 people, a big job for 12 people. They told Jesus they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus heard but did not respond to their concern and instead told them to have the crowd sit in 100 groups of 50. And when the group was arranged in groups of 50, Jesus looked into heaven and asked for God's blessing, and God did bless the gathering. The disciples delivered the food, and to their surprise, they had more food than they needed. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into the desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. And they were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. After this, Jesus asked his disciples to board a ship to travel to the eastern shore ahead of Jesus, who would come later after he sent the multitudes away. When Jesus was alone, he went up to a mountain to pray. It was about this time that the disciples were in the middle of a stormy sea, and in the early morning, during the 4th watch of the night, they saw Jesus walking to them on water. This scared the disciples because they thought they had seen a ghost. When Jesus arrived at the boat, he told them not to worry, they hadn't seen a ghost. Peter was so impressed that Jesus was walking on water, he wanted to walk on water too, and Jesus invited him to walk on the water. At first, Peter had no problem walking on water, but soon doubt set into Peter's mind, and he began to sink. Doubt is a type of unbelief. When we have doubt, we have unbelief. Jesus stretched out his arm to save Peter, and when they were both aboard the boat, the wind stopped. Others traveling on the boat saw what had happened and knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Once they reached shore, people sought Jesus, knowing that if they were able to touch him, they would be cured. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The next day, people saw only the boat that had carried the disciples over the sea, and they knew that Jesus did not travel with them. People had thought Jesus had returned to Capernaum, and instead were surprised to find Jesus with the disciples. John 6, starting with verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus knew the people weren't concerned about the miracles he did. They were looking for free food. When we consider only the here and now, we overlook what Jesus and God the Father can do in our lives. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus reminded the people to not be concerned with our physical life today, which will come to an end, but to focus on our spiritual rebirth in the kingdom of God, which will be forever. He told the people to believe him, that people who ate of that bread from heaven would never hunger, and those who believe will never thirst, and instead have everlasting life. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye shall have seen me and believe not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he saith giveth me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What Jesus said was not well received, because many of them grumbled at his words and discounted what Jesus said, because they saw him only as the son of Joseph. Jesus heard their grumbling and told them no person could come to him unless the Father called him. It is up to God the Father to call, and we can never judge people who have not been called by God. Jesus pointed out that eventually everyone will be called of God and will come to Jesus. He went on to share with the people that unlike the children of Israel who ate manna and died, people who eat the bread of life will be given everlasting life. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus went on to explain, He is the living bread which came down from heaven, and explained that he would need to give his life in exchange for the life of the world. Jesus, one man, died so many could live. The spiritual analogy Jesus gave is something we have heard for many years, and yet for the people back in the time of Jesus' day, it was strange. The people thought Jesus was talking of cannibalism with his talk of eating flesh and drinking blood and didn't understand the spiritual analogy. It wouldn't be until much later on the final Passover with his disciples that Jesus would use unleavened bread as a symbol for his body and wine as a symbol for his blood. The words of Jesus would have seemed strange to people who were not being called by God the Father, and it bothered so many people that they stopped following Jesus. Verse 51. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, added, He said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Having seen the many people leave, Jesus directly asked the 12 disciples if they would leave him also. Peter spoke up for the group and was beginning to emerge as a natural leader. God is able to take any talent and ability and shape it to fit his purpose. Peter responded by asking who they would follow if they left Jesus, because only Jesus had the words of eternal life. They had been with Jesus and had seen his miracles. They had spent time with him in private. In their mind, there was no doubt that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus reminded the disciples that he had chosen the 12 disciples and then told them one of them was a devil. Though they didn't know why Jesus was referring to one of them as a devil, Jesus was introducing to them that he would one day be betrayed by one of them. And Jesus already knew this would be done by Judas Iscariot. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And when we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.